Ford scraps the Mercury.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Bill Radke. Some good news from the auto sector. Car sales were up in May for the seventh month in a row. But that wasn't enough to save Mercury. Ford Motor says it's going to stop production of the 72-year-old mid-range brand.
Come drive it. The elegant new Mercury Monterey for 1963.
Mercury is the latest in a series of car brands that have been eliminated. Here to talk about this with us is our own Elisa Roth. She joins us live from New York. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
So, Elisa, why did Ford decide to close down the Mercury?
Well, as you said, Mercurys just haven't been selling very well lately. Ford says it wants to concentrate on the Ford and Lincoln brands instead. And again, as you said, this is really what all the Detroit Three have been doing over the last couple of years, trying to get rid of the brands that don't sell well. Mercury was conceived back in the 30s to be something between a plain old Ford and a high-end Lincoln. And at one point, the brand had some pretty cool cars. It's what James Dean drove in Rebel Without a Cause. So Mercury dealers are going to get information today about the wind-down schedule, and Ford says it'll be offering big incentives to clear out the lots this summer. So if you happen to be in the market for Mercury, there could be some really good bargains out there.
You said Mercury sales have been slow lately. It looks like everybody else's sales have been picking up. Are things better for the car industry overall?
They are. I mean, some of these were fleet sales. The rental car companies seem to be stocking up. But still, car sales were up 19% in May. That's better than last month and better than last May. And really, all the car makers showed gains. So even some that you might have expected to do poorly, like Toyota, which has been struggling with its recall crisis, and Chrysler, which has just been struggling, period.
Elisa Roth in New York. Thanks, Elisa.
You're welcome.
World markets are up today after a bullish Wednesday on Wall Street. London's FTSE is up 1.8%. Germany's DAX up 1.75%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index bounced back 3.25% after tanking yesterday. And yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average jumped 2.25%, closing at 10,249. America's convenience stores have waded into the debate over financial reform. They're supporting a Senate version of the financial reform bill limiting what banks charge stores every time you pay with a card. Speedway and Super America convenience stores have gotten millions of customers to sign petitions protesting the fees. Brett Neely has more.
Dennis Lane has owned a 7-Eleven in Quincy, Massachusetts for over 30 years. Bank fees on plastic consumers use cost him $2,500 a month.
It's my second highest expense in my operation after labor.
And he says banks keep raising the rates. It wasn't supposed to work that way, says Craig Sherman at the National Retail Federation.
The banks have saved billions and billions of dollars by not having to handle paper checks. But at some point, they weren't satisfied with simply saving money and turned around and decided they wanted to make money on top of it all.
Trish Wexler represents the Electronic Payments Coalition of banks and credit card companies. She says when Australia put a similar limit on debit card fees a few years ago,
and at the register, there was no evidence that any price savings were passed along to consumers.
Lawmakers will decide about swipe fees when they meet next week to merge the House and Senate bills. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. By MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Reputation Defender, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. ReputationDefender.com/market.
The U.S. economy has shed millions of jobs since the recession began, most of those from the private sector. In fact, USA Today reports private sector paychecks have fallen to their lowest level ever compared to public sector paychecks. Here to talk about this with us is our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
One of the things that's come up in recent weeks, as the private sector has shed so many jobs, is that private sector paychecks are actually at their smallest share in U.S. history during the first quarter of this year compared to government benefits. What's going on there?
I think something very simple is going on, and here's the story. We have been through the worst labor market in 60 years. 8 million private sector jobs were lost. So the government side of the ledger is really what's helping to keep the economy going.
Well, one of the things that I've been reading is that given this shift that's happening, the U.S. is shaping up to become the next Greece. True or false, Chris? What do you think?
It is false. It is false. The U.S. is not Greece. Here's why. Our interest rates are down despite figures that are coming out showing that the government is larger than before when it comes to pay and the workforce. We are not Greece. The global capital markets are saying we're not Greece.
Do you see this as a permanent shift in our economy, that it's going to be more government heavy and less private sector, or is this just a function of the recession?
I think it's largely a function of the recession. I mean, that's the simple answer, and that's the answer that I really believe. There's a more complicated issue, and it comes to this. The 2000s was a really bad decade for the private sector, and the question is, why is that? We didn't have a major innovation like the internet to create a lot of jobs.
We have really expanded government programs recently, and there's a lot of innovation going on within government programs and the public sector as well. Do you see that growing? Or just growing more slowly than the private sector?
I see it growing more slowly than the private sector. Think about the federal government. Federal government's under enormous pressure to retrench with the budget deficits and the debt that we have. So the growth has to come from the private sector in our economy. If we don't have that, we're all in the soup.
Marketplace's economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Chris, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, telecom giant Nokia unveiled a bicycle cell phone charger today. It generates electricity when you pedal. It costs about $20, and you'll have to ride for 10 minutes to get enough juice to talk for half an hour. You better start stretching for those unlimited nights and weekends. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.